If you watch how the Christian calendar unfolds, as you see it on the program each week, we are in the third Sunday of Easter. There are actually seven Sundays of Easter, or 50 days of the Easter season. And the book of Acts tells us that 40 of those days that we mark were a time in which Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. And then he was lifted up. He ascended into heaven. And then for 9 more days, the disciples lived in fear and doubt until the 50th day, when there was an already existing festival, a harvest festival of the first fruits of the harvest. And they became the first fruits of a new movement known as the church. The Holy Spirit came as wind and fire and as energy and love. And they became a people of courage. They were changed. And they stopped being fearful. And the book of Acts, the rest of it, becomes this crazy, brave story of passionate people. To go back to the math of that calendar, there were 40 days of resurrection appearances, and here we are on the third Sunday of Easter and only 20 days into those 40 days, but we are at our final resurrection appearance story. Unless you count Ascension Day, which will be Thursday, May 26th, but we will be moving it to the Sunday, May 29th. So today is the final resurrection appearance story. We make a transition next Sunday to what is popularly known as Good Shepherd Sunday. We read Psalm 23, we read John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," and we see the Good Shepherd on the wall in the window. There is a link, though, between next Sunday's Good Shepherd and this Sunday, and it is the sheep that are the segue. Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." He also reprises the fishers of men imagery as they catch that abundance of fish. And there is also another risen Jesus appearance story today. The risen Jesus appears to Simon the persecutor, and he is so changed that he becomes Paul the apostle. But let me tell you that in a way I think of this as a fake resurrection appearance, because it doesn't happen in the 40 days. It may even be a few years later. It's a spiritual appearance of Jesus to Paul while he is on the road. But wait, what is the difference between a spiritual appearance and a 40 days appearance? I mean, it's kind of spiritual too, right? Jesus can walk through locked doors and suddenly appear and then disappear at the dinner time. In fact, there have been spiritual appearances of the risen Jesus for 2,000 years. You could make the case that John Newton had a spiritual appearance of the risen Jesus that brought about his repentance from slavery and his writing of the hymn Amazing Grace. You could make the case that Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech goes back to a spiritual presence of the risen Christ in his formation. You could make the case that the risen Christ has made an appearance to you. You could use that language to articulate a decision you made to turn towards the light as you see it, even here in this community, in this church. You could make the case that any spark that gets the fire going is the risen Christ. For years, children who have gone to church camps have sung, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going." That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You spread his love to everyone you want to pass it on. In practice, though, We do differentiate between these personalized encounters of ours and those 40 days appearances of Jesus to the disciples. These stories that we are telling were to people who did not expect anything to happen. And they were being told to go on a future-oriented path that was new to them. It's not like us with our 2,000 years of Christianity. Even when we know we need to change, we have stories of other times of change, and we have continuity with what's gone before. We have more to go on than those original disciples did. The disciples tried to see continuity with the Hebrew Scriptures, whether it was as fulfillment of prophecies or echoes and reminders of stories that they already knew. We have hindsight that goes with reading those Hebrew stories, reading the Christian texts, and also retelling the best and the worst of our stories of the church in history. So we are different from Jesus standing by the lakeshore and calling out to his friends. This is actually a story about leadership looking into the future. It had no precedent. There was Jesus and the 12, and even though the text makes an attempted parallel of the 12 to the 12 tribes of Israel, there was Jesus and the 12 plus any number of other followers, including the women who are on record as covering their expenses. They did not have leaders in the sense of what Jesus was pushing them to recognize they needed. Jesus was like the presence of God to them. They were well-meaning, sometimes clueless, and even a group of people who failed by denying and abandoning Jesus at the time of death. They had moments of clarity, lots of confusion, jealousy, and a lot of muddling through. And I happen to think muddling through is totally necessary, especially when we don't know what to do next, and we are in one of those times. But to go from Jesus as the presence of God to them to Jesus as a memory and a spiritual presence intentionally recalled, that was the leadership they needed. It would come from specific people, and it would come from God through the Holy Spirit. Those specific people, the Acts of the Apostles tells us, include Matthias, who was to replace Judas Iscariot among the 12, though we never hear about him again, and Paul, who we read about today, and Peter. And it's really significant that Jesus has asked a fallible person who has screwed up big time to step up. He's the one who has denied Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed, and who is now asked 3 times, "Do you love me?" Peter, the fallible person, is being asked to step up. Being asked to step up today, as a church warden, for example, pales in comparison. Peter did step up. We get hints that it was costly for him. Hints of the kind of death he would suffer because of it. But that's the benefit of the hindsight of the writer of the book. Note also that the role was not to replace Jesus. It was to intentionally recall Jesus in all that they would do, and it was to hold the group together. That's where we get the kind of language we have about leadership in the church over the past 2,000 years. Our leadership is about intentionally recalling the presence of Jesus in our actions and our words, in our community's actions and words, and by holding the community together. That's where we get the language of what priests do, but that would put too much burden on the priests. It is the role of wardens to recall the actions and presence of Jesus and to hold the community together. It is the role of the music director to recall the actions and presence of Jesus and to hold the community together. It's the role of the parish administrator. It's the role of every leader. It's the role of everyone who gives you the cup of wine or makes eye contact with you when they hand you the Sunday bulletin. And here, where we might distinguish between members, if we used that word, members of the body of Christ through baptism, what about those who are listening in, who are new, who do not think of themselves as members of anything, who aren't on the parish list? Maybe you also want to grow into recalling the presence of Jesus. Maybe you also believe community is important and you would like to keep and put a hand in at holding people together. We might even say that before we were anything, commissioned or baptized or ordained, God was already moving our hearts, and specifically, the risen Jesus, unnamed and unasked, was already making a spiritual appearance to you. You didn't know it at the time. Maybe with hindsight and memory, you can go back and say, I think that's when I made up my mind about something. Maybe resurrection appearances are actually very common. And maybe fake is not the right word. Jesus doesn't do fake. Jesus does real. And he invites us to be real. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It's actually written to you. To invite you to remember the actions and presence of Jesus, to identify with it and feel it, and to bring community together. When Jesus says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, he's inviting you to take up the risen Christ. Amen.